Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:18 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 23rd. And there were a lot of moving parts to what was going on in markets in here today. There was a definite whiff of risk off in the market this morning, but with the Turkish Central Bank raising interest rates by 300 basis points and trying to arrest the decline of the currency, then that helped to allay some of the fears that people have about the currency really deteriorating in a very dramatic fashion. Then you had the fact that you had the Fed bring out its minutes, and that represented a change in the bond markets because they said they were willing to accept somewhat higher inflation, that they weren't in a particular hurry to raise interest rates. But what it has resulted in is the yield coming back below 3%. I think it is important to look at the weekly chart because we can see clearly that there is an overextension relative to the trend mean and that there is the prospect that we're going to see that unwound. Well, one of the areas where there was one of the reasons that we might say that there was a whiff of risk off was in the rally that we saw in the yen. But you can also see that there's quite a substantial tail on the candle, which suggests that the strength of the yen was not sustained intraday, and that it would really require downside follow-through tomorrow by the dollar to really confirm that the yen is back in a demand-dominated environment. Well, when we look at the dollar index, then really the dollar was really only weak against the yen. It was quite firm against the euro and indeed the pound. And it has continued to hold this move above the trend mean. Well, because you had the bond market rallying and the dollar rallying, and also the fact that gold was quite steady against a background of a really quite firm dollar, and in fact has been almost completely inert for the last six sessions, does suggest that we have had some money started to come off the table in the early part of the day, particularly. But the Nasdaq closed out the day in positive territory. It was up 60 points and well off the low, considering that it had opened down on the day. When we look at the S&P 500, then it also bounced from the 2700 point level. Now, what this is suggesting is that there is still some nervousness in the market, but broadly speaking, we continue to have a bullish environment which is being led higher by the small and mid caps. So, for example, the Russell 2000, having been in negative territory yesterday, did not follow through on that very small outside day, or it's technically a downside key reversal, but the key to the key is size, and you really would have to take out a magnifying glass to measure this one. So the dynamic of a follow-through day on the subsequent day would really have been required to confirm the signal, and we have not had that. Nonetheless, it is a little bit overbought, so it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some additional consolidation. But there doesn't appear to be any real questioning that this is a breakout that has the room to be sustained. Then, within a number of sectors, we're seeing a return to relative strength. Tiffany reported its earnings today, and they were way beyond what analysts were expecting, and it broke out in a very dynamic manner. Ralph Lauren, which trended lower for the better part of 4 years, is back on a recovery trajectory and has broken out of its most recent range. Under Armour is in a similar situation. It has got this quite similar pattern of recovery following an almost, I think, what could be categorized as a disastrous decline from the peak in 2015. Macy's it has also got this quite similar pattern, that a number of the retailers that had been trending lower for quite some time, and not just in the US. Next PLC is also breaking up and away from its range, and does look now to have turned around, and that the medium-term downtrend is over. Even Marks and Spencer, which had not that recently, not so recently, been testing its lows from 2016, is now trading back in the region of the trend mean. So we are seeing that certainly the recovery in retail is being led by the luxury goods sector. It's been driven by the continued strength of the Chinese economy. I think the fact that the Xi administration is not coming down quite as hard on the conspicuous showing of wealth as it had been, that the Trump tax cuts are unleashing some pent-up demand, and that is certainly, I think, feeding through into the performance of other luxury goods sectors. But they are accelerating, and they have done frightfully well. So even when we saw the last time it accelerated, which was back in the middle or towards the end of 2017, then we had a range in consolidation, and that's the best case scenario for something like Kering or Hermès or indeed LVMH at this stage. They are so overextended that the risk of some pause in consolidation greatly outweighs the potential for additional upside at this particular stage. And Netflix pushed on to new high ground in here today. And it probably gives us, I think, a reasonable example of what we might, in the best case scenario, expect from those luxury goods manufacturers, that it unwound much of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and now it is pushing on the upside once more. Then I think the other share that is something of a bellwether is Amazon. It was up an additional $20 in here today. It is closing above the $1,600 area, and that is, I think, a rather impressive advance. Then also, it's worth highlighting that Amazon has been really very inert over all of May, and this is quite out of character with the kind of activity that we've become used to with this share. The last time it was this inert was back in November and December of last year, and then it had an impressive advance once more. So I think that the balance of probabilities is improving, that this medium-term correction is likely to be on the lower side of the 6 to 18 month time frame that we generally expect from these kinds of moves, because it is being led higher by the small caps. That if this were a meaningful decline or a meaningful peak, I think it is reasonable that the smaller caps, which are more representative of the domestic economies of their respective countries, would be turning to underperformance. And when we look at, for example, the UK, where the pound has been really quite weak, then the FTSE 250 was in negative territory in here today, having broken out earlier this week. It is somewhat overbought, having rallied for, I think it's upwards of 7 or 8 consecutive weeks, that it's not beyond the bounds that we might get some pause and consolidation. But as long as it is holding the region of the, I think, 19,000, excuse me, 18,500 level, I think, which is the most recent major reaction low, most people are probably not going to be overly worried about it. Then, when we look at what's going on in the UK, the pound has broken its uptrend against the dollar. The Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet and raising interest rates. The Bank of England is continuing to step back from any talk of raising interest rates, and that is having a deleterious effect on the pound. Now, when we think about how the Brexit negotiations are going, well, we've had a rangy environment in the pound versus the euro. And generally speaking, when the pound rallies against the euro, then there is anticipation in the market that the UK will be closer to the EU. And when it declines, it's rather the opposite. Well, we continue to see that the 114 area is a bit of a Rubicon, and as long as the pound is trading above it, then the market is probably likely to conclude that the UK is going to remain closer to the EU. If it fails at this level and sustains a move below the trend mean, then that does hold out the prospect that we're going to see some, I think, a greater uncertainty about what the outlook for the Brexit negotiations is, and not least because there is increasing speculation that Theresa may go to the electorate and call a snap election to try and break the impasse within her own party. Then, when we look at the energy complex. Oil prices continue to steady in the region of $80. They were well off their low in here today. I described the range that we saw at the end of April as being quite inert, that it was only approximately $2.50, and the current range is even smaller than that. So we're seeing that this is still a really quite impressive advance. The size of the consolidations is declining, and we certainly do have something of an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but this remains a bullish environment generally. And I think that really does help to drive home the primary point about what was going on in markets today. It was definitely a day of two halves, where you had a lot of anxiety going on in terms of what was going to happen with Turkey. And then you had the central bank intervening and the lira rallying pretty substantially. It's the biggest rally we've seen in the currency in really quite some time. So what that's beginning to suggest is that the market is beginning to have some faith that they're going to get their fiscal house in order. But Erdogan is making a big speech tomorrow. And if he is going to be argumentative with the market, then we can anticipate there is going to be additional volatility and perhaps a test of the lows once more. If he proves to be more amenable, well, this may set up a buying opportunity for Turkey, because generally speaking, when currencies have hit their nadir, then that unleashes the potential for value plays. And when we look at, for example, some of the Turkish ETFs, what they were breaking down in here today, but there is the prospect that we get a failed downside break tomorrow. And if that is the case, then that would help to confirm that there is demand coming back in at the lower side of what is almost a 7-year range. And that could hold out the prospect for a meaningful rally back up towards 2000, for example, on the iShares MSCI Turkey listed in the UK. But these are the kinds of moves that generally tend to deliver impressive performances in their respective stock markets. So, for example, when we go back and look at what happened in Indonesia back in 2015, the currency rallied, and because the central bank intervened. Well, the currency is weakening again, and it's probably going to require some intervention by the central bank to arrest that decline. But if we just remember that it was towards the end of 2015, then towards the end of 2015, the Jakarta Stock Exchange was at 4,000, and the peak recently was much closer to 6,700. That's particularly interesting now when we look at Turkey, but also India, because the rupee was additionally weaker in here today, and it did not rally. So now the question is the RBI going to raise interest rates? Is it going to intervene to support the currency? Is it going to try and do something about rising inflationary pressures? The Indian market was in negative territory in here today, and it has pulled back below the 10,500 level. So 10,000 has been the big level on the Nifty, and that will have to continue to hold. So far, we have not seen a lot of selling pressure on the domestic market, because it's been shielded by the weakness of the currency. You do have to go and look at something that's currency adjusted to see where the real selling pressure is. And the JP Morgan India Trust has pulled back from the region of the trend mean, and it's the first time that it has done that since 2015. And well, we know what the currency was doing in 2015. This big rally that we've seen since the beginning of 2016 was because of intervention to support the rupee. So if we start to see intervention to support the rupee once more, then that could be the fuel to drive another leg higher. But the performance is going to be contingent on that kind of move. And I think it's a similar story when you look at it in US dollar terms. The that's sorry that's not the the right one. It's IIF. And the Morgan Stanley in the India Investment Trust has broken to a new low. So these are important moves, and what it also suggests is that the rupee has been quite weak, but the stock market has been reasonably steady, even in currency adjusted terms. If it gets the tailwind of a strengthening rupee behind it once more, then that will be a green light for global investors. They'll also be looking at the government bond yield, which has been expanding. And at 7.8, this is, I think, a meaningful expansion in the yield already. And if we start to see some investment coming in, or some intervention in terms of supporting the rupee, then that should also help to support the bond markets. These are, I think, some of the bigger points that are being laid out right now. Then when we look at what's going on in China, well, the Chinese market has been underperforming now for just about all year, and it was pulling back from the region of the trend mean again in here today and so far this week. It's going to have to sustain a move above the trend mean to signal that there's a return to demand dominance beyond the short term. This question about the fairness of trade, or the potential for trade wars between the USA and China, is probably going to bubble along for years to come. You have this clear difference of opinion between an ascendant power and the current global hegemon, so that is going to create trade frictions. One of the potential points is that the USA is now a major exporter of oil and China is a major importer, and that balance of trade could be certainly balanced up if China buys more oil, but of course it's not going to change the trade balance for the US with the rest of the world, because it's already exporting that oil. Then you have China's very clear intention to become the global leader in artificial intelligence and batteries manufacturing. Well, there is nothing that the discussion in trade is going to do to change that, because these represent long-term I think strategic goals for China, both in terms of crowd control and in terms of national security and its energy policy, because China very definitely has a long-term energy policy, which isn't something that we can say particularly for either Europe or the USA. So certainly an interesting time in markets. We're definitely seeing that that we're still in an environment where there is uncertainty, because the majority of indices are still ranging. And there are these questions outstanding about the outlook for emerging markets. And we're starting to see that central banks are taking a more activist role. So that's important. If we see that we've had the twin declines in both currency and in the stock market, then anything to support the currency should also help to support the stock market. So that is going to throw up some buying opportunities. Meanwhile, a significant number of shares that have been trending lower in a dynamic manner over the last few years appear to be turning the corner. There are value investors starting to come in and look at these, and that's also important, because that should help to improve the breadth of the market, where you have the technology sector has remained comparatively firm, and now it is being joined in terms of its performance by some of those shares that had been underperforming. So then the consumer staples are still at a point where they're competing with the bonds. But if bond yields come down, then that is likely to act as a tailwind, at least in the short term, for these kinds of shares. And the index is bouncing from that 500-point level. So I think with that, I will leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.